In 2018, Bay Area commuters will be able to get a little farther on BART. The agency is building a 10-mile extension to the Pittsburgh Bay Point line to go all the way to Antioch. It'll be called eBART for East Contra Costa County. But to get on the extension, riders will have to transfer at the last BART stop. That's Pittsburgh Bay Point. They'll get out onto the platform and get on a whole new different train. Why? Well, because the new extension's tracks are regular size tracks, and the rest of BART's tracks are wider than normal. BART's unusually wide tracks and cars have always made the system tricky to work with. They're incompatible with other systems like Caltrain and Amtrak, and KALW listener David Wright thinks that's a bad thing.
When rail systems are built, they're standardization is part of the whole scheme of why things work.
So he reached out to our crowdsourced collaborative reporting project, Hey Area, and he asked,
why are BART tracks a different gauge from all other train tracks?
We sent KALW's Angela Johnston to find out.
So the first place I go to look for answers is BART itself, to the Richmond Repair Garage. There, I meet Jim Allison. He's the media spokesperson for BART.
You can see that we have some of the cars are on lifts. They're being worked on. Some of the cars are...
This is the place where BART trains come for their usual checkups. Air conditioning systems are getting fixed. Train connectors are getting tightened. Allison takes me outside, and we stand next to some BART tracks.
You can see right here the gauge of the track and how wide it is. And if we could magically hover above, we could go over there to the Amtrak tracks and you would see the difference in terms of the width. These are much wider.
BART tracks are 5 feet and 6 inches wide. Standard tracks like Caltrain and Muni, Amtrak, and almost every other train in the world are just 4 feet, 8.5 inches wide, close to a foot narrower. Why? Allison says to understand that, we have to understand what the vision was.
The concept behind BART was to provide an entirely new form of transportation for the Bay Area.
One that would be luxurious enough to get people out of their cars.
It was supposed to be like airline travel back when airline travel was glamorous.
BART actually uses aerospace technology, and the cars are made out of aluminum rather than steel, which makes them around 80,000 tons lighter than most other U.S. train cars. Allison says that's one possible reason why BART uses a wider gauge.
It was built to be a more stable ride, to be a smoother ride.
Especially if the plan was to have BART go across the Golden Gate Bridge in high winds on a second deck. And yes, that was a real plan. It didn't happen, but Allison says the engineers thought they still needed all the stability a wider gauge could give them. Allison says there's a second reason for the wide gauge. BART wanted a closed system that they completely controlled.
If the Union Pacific owns the tracks and they have an important freight train that needs to go through, they might delay an Amtrak train and people will just have to deal with that, sit there and wait. BART, they didn't want that.
So who do we thank or blame for this? Allison doesn't know, but he tells me who might.
I'm Mike Healy, and I was the chief spokesperson and head of media and public affairs for BART for about 32 years.
Healy was there when the very first BART train made its way around the bay on September 11th, 1972.
We had journalists from all over the world coming to view this brand new transit system, which was the first transit system to be built in the U.S. in almost 60 years.
So do you know who made the decision?
You know, it's a good question, and I'm not sure anybody today would know the answer because most of the people that were involved have passed on since those days.
But he does show me the original 1962 BART composite report, a document presented to the BART Board of Supervisors before Bay Area residents voted on the original BART bond. On it are the names Walter S. Douglas, Ralph A. Tudor, and John Keeley. They were the chief engineers for Parsons, Brinkerhoff, Tudor, and Bechtel, the joint venture of engineering firms who drew up a vision for how BART would work.
I don't think anybody at BART ever, or the original designers ever regretted using the wider gauge.
Unfortunately, I can't ask them if they agree. My research stopped at their obituaries. But their early decision to approve a wide gauge has some other people frustrated.
I think the number one problem is about interoperability, that we can't move trains from one kind of track onto the BART track, so they might go better utilized if you could have more systems running on the same set of tracks.
Ratna Amin is the Transportation Policy Director at SPUR. She says that decision Jim Allison mentioned to keep BART tracks totally independent and wide has had lasting consequences.
Today you have BART across the bay and no standard rail and no freight rail. And it didn't have to be that way. They could have been something that is shared.
If we could run other trains on BART tracks or vice versa, you could go to, say, the MacArthur station and catch a few different types of rail, not just BART.
There would be more of an emphasis on stations and service, fast service, slow service, from here to there, rather than it's a BART train, it's a Caltrain, it's a high-speed rail train.
Another big problem BART's wide gauge causes, it's really expensive to fix because every part has to be custom made.
What happens with technology is if you don't have a big market, then there's no innovation, there's no economies of scale. The market becomes very, very small.
Like Healy, Amin didn't know who was in the room when the decision to use wide gauge was made. But she did put me in touch with one last person she thought could help, the Honorable Rod Diridon, the Executive Director of San Jose State's Mineta Transportation Institute.
All right, what are you showing me right now?
I'm showing you the 1955 original study done for the BART system.
Diridon's office is a transportation artifact gold mine. There are model high-speed rail trains in glass cases, a giant brass train bell on the door, and posters of when San Jose named their train station, Diridon Station, after him. And an even earlier BART document.
All right, why don't you start flipping pages?
Okay.
The plan is huge. It takes up a quarter of the table. We have to use both our hands to flip through the pages, looking for mentions of wide gauge and the names associated with that decision. We flip through maps of where BART was projected to go. And remember how BART was supposed to cross the Golden Gate Bridge? Well, we find a map that shows a picture of four bay crossings. Four. Finally, we come to a section that looks promising.
Design elements basic to both systems. Maybe we look there. That's page 79. Each of the two trucks supporting a car has four rolled steel wheels, 31 inches in diameter, mounted at standard gauge of 4 feet and 8.5 inches, and a wheelbase of 7 feet, 6 inches. So that's standard gauge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four. Okay.
Well, so the first study, recommended standard gauge.
It all could have been different.
And in the future, it could be different. Diridon says it's time for another big push for new transit in the Bay Area. And one solution could be laying down a new track to fit standard gauge trains.
Well, that's a multi tens of billions of dollars worth of cost. But it needs to be done sooner than later.
He says, in hindsight, it looks like BART focused so much on being the transit system of the future that it got itself stuck in the past.
So now we have one of a kind. You might say it's a dinosaur.
Dinosaur or not, BART's Jim Allison is focused on keeping the trains he has up and running.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful to take the knowledge that we have today and apply it back in time, but that's not the reality.
If he could go back in time?
If I were in the planning room when BART was being drawn up on the blueprints and I had my white short sleeve shirt on and smoking a Camel cigarette, I would probably want to have a nice stereo system so that our trains could blast some Muzak and calm people down.
For Cross Currents, I'm Angela Johnston.